and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. The word grace, I mean, we're talking about second chances. Have you ever needed a second chance? Hey, we all need it. How many times have you ever felt like you're not worthy of it? And when the opportunity is given to you, it is so humbling that it moves you emotionally because you know where you've been, you know what you've done and what you've gone through and been through. Ah, the sweet second chances of life. Isn't there hope in the second chance that the Lord gives? Well, that's what we want to talk about today. And our guest is able to share all about second chances. And that's why we pause even at the beginning of our show to remind you, oh, dear friend of ours, as you listen today, whatever you're facing, however you feel, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. He who died on the cross for your sins and mine, and Pastor Alfredo here, and our guest, he who shed his blood on the cross, and Christ who rose again from the grave, is the giver of second chances. Second, third, fourth, fifth. Hey, there's hope for you, and there's hope for us in Jesus Christ. Pastor Coach, tell us about our guest. Introduce us to our guest today and the wonderful story of hope that he has experienced.
Yeah, you know, today we have in the studio with us Pete Dealwith, who actually went through a real difficult time in his life, but discovered the grace of God and how God gave him a second chance. And he's the director of morgue operations at one of the mortuaries here in Hawaii. But, you know, I just like hearing his story because how God went and actually reached down to where Pete was and brought him back to a place of really experiencing the grace of God in your life. You know, Pete, how was your life before coming to Christ?
You know, Pastor Coach, listeners, you know, when I was growing up, I was not religious. I was in a religion, never really had any kind of relationship with Jesus. Was kind of almost bothersome to me. You know, wake up Sunday morning, get up, get ready, go to church. And that's kind of where my day started on Sundays, every Sunday. Kind of got to a point where by the time I was 17, 18 years old, I rebelled. I'm not going to church anymore. Don't want to have this relationship with God. I think God was kind of bothersome to me almost.
Right. You know, Pete, you grew up out in Waihewa, and, you know, yeah, you went there. School, a family that was actually going to church, but yes, never really connected with Jesus.
Never really connected.
Now, you know, your life kind of took a spin and went south at your lowest point. How did you feel at, you know, because you felt at a time when you were unworthy, mm-hmm, feeling like, you know, you were unlovable and very hopelessness in your heart. Tell us a little bit about that, because, you know, a lot of people can identify with those things, feeling hopeless or feeling, you know, unworthy, unloved. But it was a process where you actually went through because of something in your life that caused you to go south. Right. Tell us about that.
Well, this thing that caused me to go south, this disease, as they call it, was drug addiction. You know, I never was a drug user. I smoked cigarettes when I was younger, but, you know, just the fad and hanging out with probably the wrong kids in school. But never any kind of drug user, per se. One of my coworkers had introduced me to crystal meth, and I fell in love from the first hit. From that point on, like, everything kind of just fell out. I lost my wife at that time, my son, house, car, even my relationship with my parents, my sister and my brother. I lost everything. I was at this, what I thought was the point of no return. Like, I was at my bottom. Super hard for me even to think about it now, because these people, my family, were always there. We support each other through thick, thin, no matter what. And once this disease, this drug use came into play, everybody just kind of like left me like the plague. To the point, again, like you were saying, where I felt unworthy, not only of my job and my possessions, because I had none, but of the love of my family and the love of Jesus.
You felt like you're in a very dark, hopeless place. I remember you sharing that you actually were for years as experiencing homelessness. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so during the course of my drug use, I lost my family, my house. Basically was out on the street for about six years. We're talking sleeping behind buildings and under bridges and in the bushes and on tent. No money. Basically, the only thing that was my concern at that time was the drug. When am I going to get more? How can I get more? What do I got to do to get more? You care not for any of the basic things people normally need, like baths and roof over your head and food to eat. Had a point where I was so hungry that I would go to like Jack in a Box and rifle through the trash can so I could eat something.
This went on for 6 years. Pete, try. Yeah, no, it's hard. Describe the feeling.
It's empty. That's pretty much the sum of everything. It's just empty. You cannot trust anybody. Those people out there on the street that you consider your friends or acquaintances would gladly stab you in the back and take whatever you got. You are alone. Probably the most alone I've ever felt in my life.
There's a somberness to this.
Mm, yes.
As we talk about it, there is also a sobriety about it as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like somebody experimented and said, you know, I'm going to try to see what it's like to live like a homeless person. You lived the life for 6 years, catapulted from a drug addiction that right. you lost everything yes. that you ever considered valuable to you was taken away. Now, what really strikes me, though, is that you are here – in your right mind. And
thank you. Most people ain't gonna say that.
because I guess we kind of chuckle about it. But yes, when you look at someone who is homeless and maybe like rifling through trash, hey, let's face it. You know, our society. And then we in society, whether we admit it or not, there's a judgment that's placed on that individual.
That's true.
Mm. Yeah. There's a prejudice that's given. Yeah. You know, and with that, and sadly to say, even we who call ourselves followers of Christ,
that's right,
if we're really honest, you know, there in that prejudice or judgmental, you know, condition that we find ourselves in or that we choose to be in.
Right.
There really isn't a whole lot of hope that we would convey or even think or feel for that person.
Yeah.
But here we are with Pete, even more than just gainfully employed. I mean, he is a leader in his industry.
Yes.
You know, doing a work that is literally impacting the lives of many people at their greatest point of need.
That's right.
A family that is hurting, that is broken, and doing something in such a dignified way that brings honor and respect and a sense of deep reverence, you know, in a sacred moment of life. We're going to take a quick break right now. These aren't easy things to talk about, but that's why we're here.
You know, I always think we are all connected to someone who's experiencing that, what Pete went through.
Yeah.
And it's something that we need to talk about, definitely. Yeah.
Well, and we'll do that and more. In fact, you could just say this is the beginning. We're scratching the surface, as it were. And Pete is here, generous, gracious, to share about the hope that he has found in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You talk about 6 years of homelessness. You talk about a life that has been completely and utterly demolished, ruined.
Yes.
It's a disaster. Socially, emotionally, physically, in every way.
Yes.
And yet he's here to speak about Christ and what Christ has done. Stay with us. We'll be back with more hope just for you. Stay with us. On the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Hey, have you ever experienced shame? Shame to the point where, and this is how deep it gets, shame to the point where you're not even shame anymore, because you've been humiliated to the point of not caring. And when that takes place, you are at the bottom. And when you're at the bottom, what happens when you're there and then it gets worse? Where is the hope at that point in life? Well, you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. Our guest today is Pete Dilworth, who is sharing openly about being at a very low place in life. But he's able to testify of that because it's not where he is anymore. The Lord Jesus Christ has brought him to a place of wholeness, a place of growth and development that is sure to inspire and bring hope to you. To find out more about our program, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get this podcast and other resources for free, just for you, to help you, to strengthen you, to inspire you.
You know, Pete, you know, we heard you say earlier how you lost everything, your job, house, car, marriage, relationship with your family. And, you know, and you were homeless, and at that lowest point, you think maybe it cannot get any worse, but what happened was you were arrested and you ended up in prison. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, it got worse, all right. I guess the last thing that I did have was my freedom, whether I was using it wisely or not. Yeah. That was taken as well, I got arrested. I had some drugs and a firearm on me, and I was arrested, and everything was kind of a blur at that time. All I remember is waking up in the cell block down here at HPD, and of course I had no drugs, and I was stuck in this room cell, nobody to call. That was low.
Yeah. You know, during those times, I mean, did it ever enter your heart to maybe, like, you know, cry out to God? Or is there something that maybe prevented you from that or being open to God? Because you would think if someone at that lowest point would maybe either cry out to God or maybe bitter at God.
You know, at this time, I'm sure I left God out of it, because I just thought, you know, I'm not worthy of anything. You're looking at this guy who basically dumped everything for this chemical. Sure, I ruined other people's lives, because, you know, at one point I had to sell to support my own habit. And yeah, I was like, no, even if I cry out, he ain't going to listen. Why would God listen to this? The worthless piece.
A feeling of worthlessness. Some might say you can't get any lower than that. Than losing your own self-respect. Having all trust broken. And then being in this place. So, there you are, Pete. You're in the cell block. How did you come to know Christ?
So, this is the tough part of the story, and I'm going to get comfortable a little bit, but okay, here. So, while I'm going through the whole process, and it takes a bit, you know, we're going to go to trial, or we're not going to plead out or not, and eventually I'm like, okay, you know, this is what I did. I'm going to own up to it. I'm not proud of it, but I'm going to pay for my mistakes. And I got sentenced to 40 years. Of course, they're going to run, you know, 110 and 6-5s. Concurrently, so you basically run everything off of that 10 years. By those days' standards, I was looking at 7 years and 8 months before I would be eligible for parole. So I'm like, okay, what am I gonna do? Over the next little over 2 years or so, I am writing every day, like I gotta do something. I gotta get out of this place. It's not working for me here. It's kind of a crazy place, you know, in prison. You know, you got the rules set for it by the administration there, and then you got the rules set for it by the inmates as well, and sometimes they clash, and you gotta figure out which one. You know, I'm going to take on beating from this gang, or I'm going to lose all my privileges for not saying anything. And, yeah, that just wasn't working for me. So during the course of my imprisonment, I was writing to this drug treatment plan. Drugs basically was my problem. That's what I figured in my head. That's what everything kind of culminated to. If I never had the drugs there, if the ICE wasn't in play, I probably have that, and I probably have that, and I probably, and I wouldn't be in here. And so every day I wrote to this drug treatment program out here at Evalé, and I wrote every single day. And some days I would just write, "Hey, dear sir, you know, I read one whole book today. I woke up, I ate breakfast, I went to sleep. I woke up, I ate lunch, I went to sleep. I woke up at 3 o'clock and ate dinner." Of all times, 3 o'clock for dinner. And I went back to sleep, and then about midnight I woke up and I read till I fell asleep. And tomorrow I'm gonna do the exact same thing that I did today, which was the exact same thing that I did yesterday. And, you know, every day I would write. So mail would come Monday through Friday. They wouldn't take mail on Saturdays for some reason. So Monday mornings I would go in and I would be putting 3 letters into the box, because I wrote one Saturday, I wrote one Sunday, I wrote one Monday. And, you know, eventually I did talk to one of these acquaintances of mine that was still outside, well, not a drug user, and she was able to get me in contact with the office at this place that I've been writing to.
No, you're writing to get out of prison.
I'm writing to get out of prison. I'm like, I had enough
to get in the program, yes, to get better. Okay.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's kind of the twist there of what happened. But my whole thought when I was writing was, I'm going to get out. I'm going to have one last hoorah. I'm going to go out in style, and then I'm going to come back. I'm going to do my 7 years, 8 months. Right. I'm going to come out on parole, and you know, my life is shattered already.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I got nothing to look forward to. Yeah. So I was like, what is there when I get out except the drugs? Yeah.
Right.
And you know, even with just shy of 2 years at this time of being clean, still had that draw on me, still had that pull. The drug was still connected to me somehow, and I never know how yet, but I will soon. Yeah. So I got in touch with this guy, and his name was Andy, and he's like, hey, I've been getting your letters. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I hope I wasn't bothering you with these letters. He must have got 300, 400 letters for me. And he's like, no, but there's no way I can get back in touch with you. He says, I know your grandpa. Me and him used to do the Boy Scouts together when we was young. He said, I'm going to do this for you. You get you in court date. And I'm going to come in and I'm going to tell the judge, we're going to take you. We're going to put you in the program. We're going to get you straight. And I was blown away. Now, I didn't know at this time that this was Jesus.
Yeah.
But now when I step back and I see the entire plan that he had for me, but the hair is standing up on the back of my neck.
Okay.
Right now.
Now we're going to cut in right over here, because I'm seeing Pete, Coach, we're seeing Pete squirming in his chair because the back of the hair is standing up on the back of his neck. He's got, I guess you could call it chicken skin, as we say. You know, just the kind of experience right now, because he knows that something has happened in the course of his life. The Lord has moved.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Pete, you got to finish the story.
Definitely.
Because this will be a turning point, not only in your life, but even as we communicate today, because who would have known at that moment?
That's right.
What God had in store for you.
Oh, yeah.
And where you are today. Mm. And restored relationships, new relationships, job where you are an industry leader serving many, many families who are broken at some of the, you could say, the most hurtful time in life. And you're there, strategically placed by God. More from Pete Dealwith when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
What happens when you think things are going a certain way because, that's the way you perceive it, and you don't have an idea yet, at least at that point, that God is now moving in the situation and things are beginning to turn, not because you want it or you're willing it to happen, but because God supernaturally has taken over the situation, and you're, because He loves you so much and He cares for you, you're at the center of it, and He's moving to turn things around in you and around you for what He has for you in the days to come to fulfill His purpose. Well, that's the story of our guest today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host Alfredo Canencia and Pete Dilworth, sharing heart to heart about some very, very tough matters in life, but the hope that is found in Jesus. To find out more about our show, to get other resources, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. As I typically do, I say, hey, share our resources with others, because what Pete is sharing, I know it relates to someone you might be listening right now, or a family member or a friend. Share it with them.
You know, Pete, you shared with us before the break and how you were in prison writing these letters to this Christian-based program, mm-hmm. so you could get better and get out. But in your mind, you were thinking one thing, that you wanted to just get out and maybe, you know, do, you know, run away and do your own thing. But God had another plan, and His grace entered where you connect with this guy who knew your grandfather. I mean, what an amazing thing. You know, you write 300 to 400 letters and you connect with a guy that knows your grandfather.
And that's Andy.
Yeah,
right?
Andy, and he's willing to give you.
He's the intake guy.
Yeah, he's our intake coordinator.
He's willing to give you an opportunity to help you with this. And, you know, God always positions people in our lives for a purpose, you know. And now you're going to the place, I understand. Tell us a little bit how that process, because there's something that you encountered while you got there that really was part of the turnaround and what God was going to do in your life.
Yeah. Right. So just kind of to reiterate a little bit, that was my ultimate plan. I'm going to get out of prison. I'm going to have one last go at it. And then I'm going to go back in and do my time. Yeah. And so oddly enough, I get in touch with my dad, who, you know, we've kind of been, our relationship been severed probably in a good 6 years or so by this time. And he actually comes to court too with Andy. And this court was called, where they redo my sentence, reconsideration of sentences was called. And my dad stands up and he's like, you know, whatever we need to do to get my son back. And Andy is there and he's saying, oh, we're going to take him into the program as soon as he gets released. And And the judge slams his gavel down and he says, all right, you can go to the program. So I probably waited the longest 5 days of my life sitting in Halava prison, waiting for the paperwork to go through. And my dad came on April 5th and picked me up. Yeah, I don't know. I never think that would be possible, but dad came, signed me out, and took me out of Halava prison. He was instructed there. He's like, don't go anywhere. Don't stop at 7-Eleven for that Slurpee. Don't go to McDonald's for the Quarter Pounder. Go from Halava straight to the Salvation Army program. And dad did drop, and he didn't drop me off, no. He drove, he parked in the front of that place. We walked upstairs, and he made sure I got in. I think he knew. My dad did, or what was on my mind as well.
So they know that guys are going to bolt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why they don't usually pull anybody out of prison. Because that's kind of like that get out of jail free card, and they're gone. So I get up there, and my dad checks me in, and they sit me down, and they say, all right, you got this kind of half-inch thick stack of paperwork that I had to do, like medical stuff and emergency notifications and, you know, what my plans was after I completed the program. And so I sat down in this office, and I'm just filling out all of this paperwork, and this older gentleman walks in, and he looks at me, and he goes, hey, boy. And I look at him, and he says, hey, I know what you can do. And I'm wondering, hey, how does this guy know what I can do? Because I know what I like to do.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I sat in that same chair 20-some years ago. Do not leave, he tells me. Don't go until the miracle happens. And I kind of look at him weird. And I told myself, okay, I'm going to give this one night. Tomorrow, I'm out. Well, tomorrow came. And the day after that, and the day after that, the clean living, the camaraderie with the other gentleman that lived in the house. And then this morning devotions. Every morning, you sit down in the chapel and you know, one of the other peers, one of your other peers in there would read on scripture and then discuss a little bit. We'd do on prayer, and then you go off to your assignment for the day. And I said, I like try that. I like be one of the guys that go up in the front and do the devotions. And so I asked, and they're real nice about letting you do stuff, especially if it's helpful. I got on the devotion team, and probably within the next week I was the guy in front, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I never was the guy that reads the Bible, and I never was the guy that preaches, and who am I, you know what I mean, to do any of that? I'm the guy that was selling drugs, you know, just a couple of years back. But I still had this, you know, in the back of me, this little thing saying, come get me. And as the drugs calling me still, I still never really broke that addiction yet. And this is where it like the chicken skin that you was talking about, Danny, this really comes in. We had chapel services every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. And so this one particular, I remember it was on Wednesday night because the family could come on Sunday. They couldn't come on Wednesdays. And it was this Wednesday night, and you know, the service is going on, and the praise and worship team was singing, and then the pastor, he calls up and he's like, you know, if you guys got anything bothering you, any special prayers you need, come on up. And they had a little kneeler up in the front, and I said, you know what, this addiction is just dragging me down. I'm not gonna be what I can be so long as this is hanging on me. And you know, I went up and I kneeled down and I cried out. I'm like, Jesus, please, if it's in your will, take this addiction from me. And you know, I'm crying, I'm bawling, and you know, a couple of the other guys in the program with me, you know, they put their hands on my back and they're praying with me. And it was like, you know, it's going to sound real weird. It was like instant. That addiction lifted off of me.
You actually felt...
like when weight lifted off my shoulders. And I'm like, you know, I never feel this for over 6 years from that first, from that day, January 21st, 1999. That was the first time.
You felt free.
I was free. And you know, we go to these programs and they say, you know, you never cured. You're always going to deal with this. But I knew in my heart, I knew in my soul that by asking Jesus that day wholeheartedly, that he could do it. And he did.
What happened afterwards? How has your life been since that moment?
Kind of amazing. I had got one job. You know, part of this program is you got to get one job. You got to get out there. You got to move on your own. You got to, you know, start building your life back up. And so I got a job at Walmart of all places. And working there, I happened to see one of my old co-workers that I used to work with. And he's like, oh, how are you doing? And I know when that question comes about, they're asking you if you clean or not.
Right, right.
And I'm like, oh, no, I'm doing good. I'm doing real good.
And that means...
That means I'm clean.
Okay.
And up to this point, I probably be clean for about 2 and some change years. He says, oh, would you, you know, consider coming back? And this is back to the mortuary because that's where I had been prior to all of this drug use. And I said, you know, I thought about it And I think I would like to, you know, try that again. And so and I sat down with our owners, had this conversation. Of course, when I got rehired, people are not going to trust if you. And so I had some terms and conditions, you know, I had to do drug testing whenever they felt like it. And
Pete, let me just interrupt. You know, when that guy, your coworker that used to work with you, saw you and you know, kind of setting up an appointment to see the owner, the boss. How were you feeling inside? I mean, there might have been some mixed feelings, but you still were battling with unworthiness, that not feeling that, you know, that God would give you a second chance at this place. But the opportunity is being presented to you. Because, you know, a lot of times people battle with condemnation, you know. And you have the capabilities, the skill set to do it. But because of where you were, you know, a lot of times the battle goes on right in our minds. Mm-hmm. And as you went into that meeting, did you find that maybe what you were battling with, it wasn't so as you talked with the owner that day?
Yeah, definitely. When I first... was approached about that, I definitely did feel like, can I, should I put something, and I believe it was God told me, this is the path for you.
You know, let's pause for a moment there, because on the road to recovery, on the road to renewal, Coach, as you said, there are these emotions, thoughts, and feelings that come about that make us think, you know, hey, there's a little apprehension there.
Right.
Emotions, our emotions, the reality of where we've been, that kind of holds us back. But Christ has a new beginning for us. The future is fresh. It's like a clean slate. And the Lord is wanting us to take this step, which, Pete, you did. And yet somebody today may be in that point of, it's like an interlude.
Right.
It's like an intermission of life, and you're wondering, am I really worthy enough to go there? Is this really happening? Mm. Is this, am I really entering the portal, as it were, of a new life that I've always heard about? But now here's this opportunity. We're going to take a quick break right now, but when we come back, Pete Dilworth will share with us how he went forward to take that step and what God has done in the restoration process. I mean, you talk about redemption. I'm beholding the redemption power of Christ right in front of me. Coach, he's right here in front of us in the life of Pete Dilworth. And so as we take our break, our dear friend, you may be at that place, wondering, pondering, could it be, is this that moment? And we might resonate together almost like in a chorus and in harmony, and we would say, oh dear sister, dear brother, hey, this is your moment.
That's right.
So don't look back, look ahead, take that next step. The Lord is there to be with you. Stay with us, we'll be right back.
Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmi of Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Welcome back to our show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We're here with Pete Dilworth. And before our break, we're talking about, hey, that moment when you know, hey, God has opened an opportunity for me to step forward, and this is going to be my new life. And we said, well, put aside all the apprehensions, let that go in the back, and move forward, move ahead.
Right. You know, as you talk with that co-worker of yours before, you he sets an appointment where you meet up with the owner.
Yes.
Now, tell us about that, because it's kind of interesting. Now, you talking with the owner, and you're not really sure how this is going to turn out.
Right.
But this is another way of God expressing his grace to you again.
Right.
Talk to us about it.
During my time that I was working at Walmart, I got back in touch with my mom and dad, and they was happy that I was clean and very supportive. And during one of our calls, I called my mom, and I'm like, hey, Mom, guess what? The owner from my old job, they want to talk to me. And she's like, do you have anything to wear? I'm like, well, I go to work with jeans and a T-shirt every day. So she said, okay, I'm going to take you. And so she took me to get a nice Aloha shirt. I still get this thing hanging, and even if I was 40 pounds lighter at that time.
life has been good.
Yeah, so I still got this Aloha shirt. So she buys me this Aloha shirt and slacks, and I go down there, and I'm super panicking. I caught the bus because I didn't have a car at the time, and I walk up, and I'm sweaty, and I'm like, you know, please excuse me. I'm sweaty, but I just got off the bus, and I had to walk up. And he's like, sit down. I was a little apprehensive at first, a little scared almost. But he's like, you know, we want to offer you the position. Most likely, you know, with this opportunity to move up. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And he's like, well, do you need some time to think it over? I'm like, no. I accept. So probably within the next 2 weeks or so, I to give Walmart my notice, and I left, and I went over to my present job now at the mortuary, and from that point, you know, everything's kind of like, okay, Jesus, you got me here now. What is your plan for me? And you know, over the course of probably these past 6-7 years that I've been there, I've been promoted twice. Right now I'm the director of morgue operations. I also met my beautiful wife Stacy there, and almost 1 year married. September 29th we're gonna make 1 year. God has just worked these, I call them miracles, grace. Just this, I didn't deserve any of this. Promise. I'm telling you right from my heart, I never deserve none of this. Not for what I've done. But out of his grace and his love for me, it's endless, you know. The blessings are endless.
Somebody today maybe feeling their own apprehensions. Well, what would you say to somebody who's facing these challenges right now and wondering if their life can be put back together again? What would you say?
You know, it all comes down to this one scripture that I have here, and it's permanently on my phone. It's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. And it says, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And this is exactly what God has done. You know, it's believing, you know, having faith, and knowing that in his time, all of these things that, you know, you have done, one, he's going to forget. You're going to have a clean slate. But he's going to bring you right back to where you were.
Yes.
And then some.
We talk, Coach, about you talk about establishment. That scripture talks about establishing you. Yeah. I mean, it's now, you're talking 6-8 years from the time where you went back to your current job and with a couple promotions along the way. And now you, you have a great deal of responsibility. But the Lord didn't allow it to just happen right. with a snap of a finger.
Yeah.
There was a weight lifted. You were set free. But there is this proving time, time of establishment mm-hmm. where I'm sure, Pete, you went through times of testing, temptation.
Daily.
Yeah.
And through that, the grounding.
Yeah.
You become formidable.
Mm.
And not only others being able to trust you, you can trust yourself.
That's right.
Definitely.
Not only can others respect you, but you respect yourself.
Definitely.
Or maybe they respect you because they know you respect yourself because of this restoration on the inside out of what Christ allowed you to experience.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times, you know, we trust in God for breakthrough, for miracles, for healing. And God is sometimes seeing if we become trustworthy. Mm. Can He trust us that when He does it, we won't run? Right. I think over that period of time, the Lord is establishing Pete in his walk in a relationship with Him. That when the blessings begin to unfold, and you know, and you're meeting a beautiful wife and being promoted, God is not so much Pete trusting God. God can trust Pete now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pete, why don't you close us in this time of prayer? We got a couple of minutes, but if you can lead in a prayer for someone right now who is in that place where they need that turning point, as you have experienced.
Lord Jesus, you know, we come to you today and we give you all praise, honor, thanksgiving, and love, Lord. Lord, we ask you to come upon these people here, these people with problems, these people with addictions, these people with turmoil in their life. Lord, we ask you that you come, you show yourself to them, Lord. Remove all of these iniquities, remove all of these problems, remove all of their troubles, Lord. Lord, bring them to where they were before. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pete, you are certainly a testimony of the grace and the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like we said before, Coach, today on a daily basis, He's making a difference in the lives of families at the greatest point of grief and pain.
Yes.
Doing them a service and you honor the Lord, Pete. Brother, thank you for coming and sharing.
Awesome.
Thank you for allowing me to share. You know, if I can help one person break their addiction and move on their way closer to Jesus, my job is done.
Well, you have done that to many. Definitely. And when they experience that, they'll experience the Lord Jesus on a very personal basis, like one-on-one. Thank
Amen.
You, Pete. I hope you've been encouraged today by the story of redemption of Pete Dilworth. You know, my friend, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got something special for you there. And also, if you'd like to stand with us financially, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus says, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me.'" It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Pete Dilworth. Until next time, along with my co-host, Alfredo Canencia, and our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.